So today, we're in week four of our five-week series called Toxic. And in week one, we began with toxic thoughts and how many thought or many of life's battles are either won or lost right here in our minds. And we learned that week that it's the thought that counts. Why don't you say it with me? It's the thought that counts. In week two, we discussed toxic influences and how we become like that of a muddied spring or a polluted well when we allow toxic influences into our lives. And last week's topic was on toxic relationships, that it is important to set up healthy boundaries. And sometimes there are those times where we just need to actually cut off those relationships completely. And when I talk about relationships, I mean friendships, right? There are the rare occasions that there are other definitions of relationships that need to be cut off. But I want to just put this disclaimer out here. I'm not talking about divorce here, all right? I don't want anybody going home and saying, oh, I got to better listen to that message because my husband or my wife is driving me nuts. That's not what I'm talking about. You need to set up some healthy boundaries. I'm hoping today that for anybody who's experiencing any relational or marital strife this morning, that today's message will actually speak into that. And so we're thankful today that God is working. So today, what we're going to talk about is toxic words. And how many have ever heard this incredibly inaccurate statement before? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never what? Hurt me. That's right. That's right. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me. That is the biggest fallacy I've ever heard. Now, I remember my mom giving me that advice after I got into a fight in my middle school years. And I wasn't much of a fighter. And unfortunately, I picked a fight with a kid who knew how to drop the gloves and do a little dance and drop his opponent. I was that opponent. And what led me to that moment was the fact that this kid had said something to me that really bothered me. And so his words affected me, and those words led me to some action that I wasn't too proud of. So here it is again. Sticks and stones, they can bruise our bones for maybe days or weeks, but words can bruise our souls for years, even decades. On the other hand, though, words can hurt us, words can also be used to build us up. Words can lift us up, inspire us, and even transform us. Words are powerful. Why don't you say that with me? Words are powerful. Tell somebody beside you, words are powerful, right? Proverbs 18:21, it says this: the tongue has the power of life. Everybody say life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue, the words that we speak can be either life-giving or they can be life-taking, right? Our words can be life-giving or they can be toxic. Our words are powerful. Say it again with me so it resonates in your soul. Words are powerful. Think about this for a moment. When God created the world, what did he do? He spoke it into being. He said, let there be what? Light, right? And what happened? There was light. And then God spoke everything into existence. Animals, vegetation, land, seas, skies, sun, moon, and people. He spoke it all into existence. His words were powerful, and that's powerful. Words can either create or what? Destroy. Words can heal or they can hurt. Words can be life-giving or words can be life-taking. There's power in our words. Our definition for toxic in this series is the following, and this is what it is. Toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. And because our words are powerful, wouldn't you agree that toxic words can cause sickness like no other to the soul? Our words have the capacity of bringing healing or used as a weapon of destruction. Our words have power. Our words have power. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. Brings healing." Our words have power. They can pierce like a sword or they can bring healing. Listen to me when I say this, a little bit of poison, toxic words can go a long way. We can hear about 10 good, positive, life-giving things about ourselves. But the things that we tend to focus on and believe are those one or two negative thoughts. Those one or two negative or toxic things spoken about us or to us. Proverbs 15:4 says this, "But the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." It crushes the spirit. The deceitful tongue does what? It crushes our spirits. Many of us, if we're able to look back in the archives of our lives, we would find times when people spoke some crushing words to us, words that pierced our soul, negative, hurtful, toxic words. Unfortunately for some of us, some of these toxic words were spoken to us this past week. Maybe it was even yesterday or on your way to church today. Sometimes it's the little things spoken to us that seem to bug us the most. Right? The things that were not meant to be intentionally, but or things that were not meant to intentionally wound us or crush us, but they end up doing the damage. These little things. Sometimes it's not even the words that are spoken. It can be the unspoken ones that can hurt as well. If your love language is the words of affirmation and you're not getting the affirmation from those closest to you, it can really cause chaos in your soul. Sometimes we take things for granted and assume that people know what we really meant when the things we said or when we said this or that, but in reality, all we've done is just wounded or crushed them. Our words, even lack of words, have power. They have power. A child that is constantly called a brat, a little monster, a good for nothing. You know, those words that are spoken over that child have a lasting effect. We don't have to look any further than the local prison system. We see people in prison today, and I wonder how many of those words were spoken into their lives. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. You're just a good for nothing. You're a brat. You're out of control. And they hear these negative words, and they take root in our lives. And then they produce a harvest. And sometimes that harvest is just tragic. I wonder if we were to go into and interview each one of the inmates at Milner Ridge and ask each one of them, what kind of words did your parents speak into your life? They might say, what parent? What parents? I know that I must have had two that brought me into this world, but that I only had one, and that one I was just too much for. How many of us have ever heard ourselves or maybe others speak down to our children? It hurts. It's like, ouch, careful, careful, right? Our words and have lasting effect on a person's life. If they're good words, we're going to see good effects produced in their life. If they're toxic words, then we're going to see destruction happen in their lives. Our words and our influences on people's lives matter. Our words, whether spoken intentionally or unintentionally to hurt others, have power. Because sticks and stones may bruise our bones, but words can bruise and poison the soul. But just as words can be used to wound and crush, they can also breathe life an encouragement into a person's life. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Think of that, a tree of life. And you know what's beautiful about a tree? A tree that has roots that go down deep. When the winds blow, when the storms blow, the tree doesn't fall over. The tree bends and wavers and rocks, but it is not uprooted. Right? It's not uprooted. Words of life are like a tree that is planted, a tree of life that is planted with roots that go down deep. As I was preparing for this message, I read an article on creativethinking.net. Now, I don't believe that this person is a Christian or for that matter, I don't know where their faith is at, but I just found this article very, very neat as I was reading it. And one of the catchphrases was in it was this: a word changes the meaning, the mood, and the motivation. Interesting. A word, just a word, changes the meaning, the mood, and the motivation. The article of this, the author of this article was Michael Michalko, and he writes this: the Greek philosopher and scientist Aristotle was responsible for producing some of the greatest advances in human thought during his lifetime in ancient Greece. In his book on interpretation, Aristotle described how words and chains of words were powerful tools for his thinking. He described how words reflected his thoughts and how he used words to shape his thinking. And he goes on to say, I once stayed for a week at the storied Ritz-Carlton in Montreal. Usually I don't stay in expensive hotels because of my frugal nature, yet in the Ritz, I felt great. The longer I stayed, the better I felt. I discussed my feelings with the manager, and he told me his secret. He told me that the most significant factor for their success was training their employees to frame everything they say in a positive manner. Think about this. For example, employees who perform services for you will say, "It's a pleasure," instead of something like "no problem." When you thank them, or at a restaurant, they would say, "Our restaurant would be pleased to serve you tonight," instead of "Why don't you visit our restaurant tonight?" Or a bartender will say, "Thank you. I look forward to your return when cashing out patrons." Guests feel welcome and appreciated and find themselves feeling happy and positive. And this feel-good feeling becomes contagious among the guests, and they soon subconsciously begin emulating the positive speech patterns they hear from the staff. By consciously transforming their speech patterns into positive ones, the staff influence themselves to be positive and happy. The Ritz-Carlton experience demonstrated to me how the language allowed the staff to influence themselves in a particular way and how their mental state was then transferred to the minds of the guests and how the guests transferred it to their mind or to the minds of others. This was a dramatic example to me of how language can be used to influence behavior and emotions. Interesting. The Ritz-Carlton in Montreal. Our words what? Have power. Let's say it again. Our words have power. With our time remaining, I want to give you two types. I want to talk about two types of words. The words that we hear, and then I want to talk about the words that we speak. When it comes to the words that we hear, we must, number one, guard your heart against toxic words, right? When it comes to the words that you're hearing, you must guard your heart against toxic words. We cannot control what others say, but we can control what we believe about ourselves. We can't control what someone says to us or about us, but we can control what we meditate on and how we allow it into our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 is about a father imparting wisdom into his sons through life-giving words. And this is what he says in Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 1 to 2. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. Then he gives them the most important advice. In Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. In other words, guard your heart against any toxic words. Don't let them in. Someone says something about you, guard your heart. Guard your heart against believing anything that is not truth. And it is important for us to guard our hearts against toxic words. It is essential for us. Some find this difficult because they don't know how God feels about them. Listen, God's word, the Bible, is full of truthful words that we need to hear. Here's a sample of what you'll find in the Bible. He calls me his child. I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I have been justified through faith. I am united with God. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God. I have been redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to God. I am free from condemnation. I have assurance in him. I cannot be separated from God's love. I have new life through Christ. God's not finished working in my life, and he will continue it until he's done. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I am born of God. I have been chosen. I am God's workmanship. I can do all things through Christ. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am his and he is mine. That's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. That list that I just read to you was taken from a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Neil T. Anderson about talking about we need to find our identity in Christ. And that's how we deal with toxic things spoken to us or about us. Guard your heart from toxic words with the truth of God's word. You are who God says you are, period. Period. Now that we've talked about the words you hear, let's move on to the words that you speak. Speak life-giving words. Speak life-giving words. There are times we'll be tempted to speak toxic words. Our fleshly nature, sinful nature, will try to get the best of us, and we'll get angry and tempted to say things we really don't mean. There will be times when our feelings get hurt, and toxic words will be at the tips of our tongues. But listen, none of us is perfect. The God we serve is perfect. And if we allow his Holy Spirit to have full access in our lives, he'll replace those toxic words with words that are life-giving. It takes practice, it takes discipline, and a great deal of self-control. But here's the good news. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:23. So when we allow God's Holy Spirit to have VIP access into our lives, we become a better version of ourselves. We become a better version of ourselves. Isn't it very interesting when you read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I'm missing one in there, kindness or something. Anyways, I said it so quickly. But notice how it starts with love and ends with self-control, right? They're the bookends that hold the rest together. You can't have all the rest without love, and you can't keep it all closed in without self-control. Here's some great advice given by Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 4, 29. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk or toxic words come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up or building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." On one of my favorite preachers that I listen to online, Pastor Craig Crochelle, he says he has a rule that he lives by, and I got to tell you, it is some sound advice here. Here's his rule. Whenever you think of something good, say it. Say it anytime and every time. Wow. That's it. Right? Whenever you think something good, say it. Give life to it. Don't hold back. Don't rob the blessing. Let words come forth. Let it flow, and let it gush. And let it flow, and let it gush like a geyser. Right? Let it flow and gush, those words. If you're struggling in your marriage, I'm curious as to the content of your words to your spouse. Are they toxic? If so, maybe it's time to try something new, speaking life-giving words into your spouse. Got problems with your children? What kind of words are you speaking into them? Are they life-giving words or are they toxic? Got some problems at work? Maybe at school? What kind of words are you using in those situations? Are they life-giving or are they toxic? What kind of friends or what kind of a friend are you? Are you the type that speaks positive or are you the one that always gives the negative side of things, pointing out the faults in everything and in everyone? What kind of words are you using in your friendships? Are they life-giving or are they toxic? Speaking life-giving words any time and every time, that is something that will take practice in your life. It'll take practice, but make it a daily practice in your life. Number three, speaking life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstance. Speaking life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstances. What kind of language do you use when it comes to self-talk? Do you call yourself a loser? Do you look in the mirror and wish somebody else was looking back at you? Do you call yourself stupid, good for nothing? Listen, your words matter because they have what? Power. If you're using toxic words to describe yourself, it's time to change it up and change it up with some life-giving lingo. What circumstances are you facing in life right now? Are you battling cancer, diabetes, a heart condition? Are you battling depression, anxiety? Is it a relationship with your spouse or with your children? Maybe a friend? Maybe you've got some financial trouble? Maybe you're just frustrated with life in general? Listen, your words matter. Speak life into your circumstance, not death and negativity. Speak life-giving words, not toxic ones. So many of us, we suffer from speaking life-taking self-talk. And we could use a little Stuart Smalley theology. Remember that old skit from Saturday Night Live? Maybe nobody in this room, for you younger generation, that might be too old for you. And for the older generation, you're like, well, I never watched TV. But anybody who's listening online, maybe you know who Stuart Smalley is. He used to do a skit. There used to be a skit on Saturday Night Live, and it was called Words of Affirmation by Stuart Smalley. And Stuart Smalley would look into a mirror and say the following words: I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. That's all good, but better than Stuart Smalley theology, I want to give you some solid Jesus theology this morning. Watch how Jesus illustrates the power of faith in Mark chapter 11, 23. This is his words. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now listen. This is how I interpret this verse. Don't tell God how big your mountains are. Tell your mountains how big your God is. Now, your mountain might not be the mountains in the Rocky Mountains. I'm not talking about the mountains, those mountains. I'm talking about the mountains in your life. The circumstances that just seem so big to you. I want to just tell you that if you will change places with God just for a minute, you will see that that mountain is nothing. Is nothing. A mere blip on the radar, right? We go to God so many times and tell him how big it is and how, and it's okay that it's big, but tell your mountain how big your God is. I believe that somebody here this morning needs to hear that. You've been crying out to God about a situation in your life that's just too big for you to handle on your own. And rightly so, it is bigger than you. I get it. But something we fail to remember is that God is bigger than any situation. I mean, goodness sakes, remember VeggieTales? God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's looking out for what? You and me. Right? Even a bunch of crazy talking fruit on a TV screen, or vegetables, sorry. Whoops. Vegetables. Eat your veggies, people. Right? Whatever you're facing in your situation, this cancer, this diabetes, this heart condition, this depression, this anxiety, and I want you to remember, just because an illness is affecting your body or affecting you doesn't mean it's yours to claim. It's not my diabetes. It's not my cancer. It's not my depression. It's not my anxiety. Stop owning it. It's not yours. It's on your body, but it's not yours. Because you know what? Proof of it is when we go to heaven, it's not going to follow us there. It's not going to follow us there. I had a question voiced to me this last week. They said, so if God is so loving and so big and so awesome, why did he allow sickness in this earth? God created humankind and gave them a mind of their own. I wonder if we were to do some real in-depth research into our food services, I wonder if we would find out that we've produced these cancers, if we've produced these diabetes, if we've produced a lot of these things that we're battling today. Why? Because of greed, because we've got to make more money, because we've got to make things faster, we've got to make them in greater supply, right? And what things have we done to get there? It's not yours. It might be in your body, but it's not yours. God is yours. God said, claim me. I am your God, right? And I'll tell you something. Listen, when we claim God as our God, doesn't mean that the diabetes and the cancer and everything's going to go away. I'll tell you what it does mean. It says it right there. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly here on earth and in heaven. Does that mean we'll all be millionaires and driving Escalades? No. But I tell you, your thirst and hunger for more and more will be satisfied because God will be all that you want and all that you need, right? Because those $1 million, those Escalades can't be taken to heaven. And in fact, $1 million, guess what? You got to give it away in order to get something, right? You got to give it away to get. And the Escalade, well, it's just going to break down. Why? Because it's an Escalade. Buy a Honda, right? Didn't you know that Hondas are actually biblical vehicles? Because the disciples all gathered in one accord. Okay, we're going to move on. But speak into your situation of how big your God is. Speak into that. David, when he faced off against Goliath, he didn't see a big giant. He saw a big target. People around were like, David, he's just too big to beat. And David says, he's just too big to miss. David was not comparing Goliath to himself. He was comparing Goliath to the living God that he served. Don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. Somebody needs to hear that. Whether you're here in this room or you're listening online, God has got this. He's got you, and you are not alone. Speak life-giving words to yourself and to your circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, words of faith, words of life, kind of theology. What I'm talking about is our words will direct our paths and our emotions and our spiritual state, right? That's what I'm talking about. Speak life-giving words. You know what? I was so depressed by the weather outside. I mean, I had to get outside and shovel out my driveway. You heard me talking about no earmuffs. I'm freezing my head off outside because I refused to wear a toque to mess God's perfection here on my head. But listen. I'm downstairs in the prayer room. I'm like, okay, God, what's so good about this weather? He said, no mosquitoes, no flies, no rattlesnakes, no black mambas, no black widows. Like, come on, people. Let's just be a little bit thankful for the winter here. A little bit thankful, right? It's time that we start aligning our words with God's truth. I'm not who others say I am. I am who God says I am. I align my words with his truth, and I let his truth drive me. I speak words of faith. I'm created by God to do great things. God is for me, not against me. I am more than a conqueror because of Christ Jesus, because of what he did on the cross and how he rose from the dead just like he said he would. Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, I have the power to do all things through him who gives me strength because of Jesus. I can guard my heart against toxic words. Because of Jesus, I can speak life-giving words anytime and every time. And because of Jesus, I can speak life-giving words over my life and over my circumstances that I face. I thank Jesus for that. Can somebody here thank Jesus a little bit? Right? Get a little excited about Jesus here today. Now lean in close here. Lean in close as we close. There are some of you here, or maybe listening online, and you're not doing what you've been called to do because you've been believing words that are untrue. Whew. You are not who others say you are. Stop allowing a created being telling you, another created being, of what you're worth. Let the Creator do that. You are not who others say you are. Get that poison out of your heart. Forgive the person who spoke it. Stop rehearsing those toxic words in your life and in your mind. And you are who God says you are. And God has a plan for your life that goes way beyond time and space and here on earth. Did you hear me? God has a plan for your life that extends past our time here on earth. And his plan is perfect because he sees yesterday, he sees today, and he sees tomorrow all at once. And he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present, working in all circumstances to bring about his good and perfect plan for our lives. Let me just say this. Maybe, the illness you're facing, the mountain you're facing in this lifetime has a purpose to bring you to this moment to open your heart to Jesus. Maybe. Listen, what God doesn't remove, he'll use. He'll use. And listen, people, life isn't done. At our funeral services, when we get lowered into the ground, our life has just begun. Our life, this is just the audition for heaven. This is just the pre-course. This is nothing like the big show, right? God has a plan to use every situation in your life, right? I have seen more people come to Jesus through pain and suffering than I have when everything is good and going well in their lives. And it's not that God puts those things in your life. He has just stepped back and allowed things to happen. But he hasn't stepped out of the picture. He's still there. And he's got a hand out, and he's got arms wide open, ready to receive you at any time. And it's not because you're good enough or you're smart enough and people liking you. It's because God created you with a plan and a purpose. And when he created you, he stepped back and he says, that was very good. That was very good. Let the Creator tell you who you are. And then all we have to do, right, is get on board with his plan and be a life giver by the words we speak instead of a life taker. Amen? We're going to pray, and I'm going to get the worship team to come and close. Heavenly Father, I pray right now by the power of Jesus' name that, Father, that from this moment on, we analyze our words, that we're able to stop and have the self-control to let our words, if they need to be few. Lord God, I pray that we would speak life-giving words and not life-taking words. That, Father, we would recognize that our words have power, power to give life or to take life. That, Lord God, that some of those mountains in our lives right now God, we are just going to speak truth into them. And Lord, you hold that all of our tomorrows in your hands. And so, God, we put those tomorrows in your hands, and we're thankful for that, that you know best, and we will continue to trust you no matter what happens in this life. So, God, we think of Jesus going to Calvary and dying on a cross for us. And Lord, it was a huge mountain to climb for him. Suffering and pain, abandonment, loneliness, pain and suffering. But he did not back down. Jesus didn't halfway do it. He did it all. And through him, the one who rose again, where no other founder of any world religion has ever claimed that. Lord, we believe his words. We believe Jesus' words, the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus. We believe in him. And we fashion our lives to be like him so that we may one day enjoy your presence, God, and the fullness thereof. So we give you praise and glory this morning in Jesus' holy name. Amen.